Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Mission experience, mission field up there in Lynch, Kentucky. They're with us. And it's great to have Brother Andrew's parents with us. Amen. All right. Now, I've already missed out on another guest or visitor, so forgive me. I get in trouble when I start doing that. All right. Verse 14, Hebrews 2, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he," and speaking of Jesus, "he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil." Yeah. "And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham." And if you're a child of faith, you belong to Jesus, hallelujah, you're a seed of Abraham. "Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation." Say that word with me. "Propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able." Say, "he is able." "To aid those who are tempted." Brother Penny, would you ask God's blessing on the word today? Thank you.
Holy Father, we pray. Thank you for what you've done in our lives, Father.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
We pray now as we come to look into your word and just put it free, Father, that your spirit will reign over us, Father.
Do it, Lord.
Guide us, that you will instruct us, you will call us on the Lord, your Father. Again, we pray your Holy Spirit rest on the pastor and everyone here. In the name of God, wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And all God's people said, amen. I want to talk to you this morning. I've used it for a sermon title, "We Will Remember." Now, we have all these special Sundays throughout the year, and I would be silly not to recognize that this is Memorial Day weekend. I did a little word study on memorial, and here's what I found. The very word memorial means to remember. To remember. A person, a group of people even, a nation, or even an event, sometimes through a structure like a monument or a tombstone or a headstone, sometimes a memorial. You'll see a plaque given in memorial of someone, or a trophy. A memorial is used in a testimonial. A sermon, and even how many have been to a memorial service, you know? And so all of that is done as a tribute to remember someone or something, a special place or an event that happened. And so that's what Memorial Day weekend's all about. But I want to tell you, I want to remember the one who made the ultimate sacrifice today. And so we're going to look. Now, when you look through the Bible at all these different memorials that happened, did you know that when Moses was at the burning bush and God spoke to him and he said, "I am who I am. And you go tell the folks down in Egypt that I am who I am." And he used his name as a memorial, the scripture says in Exodus 3:15, I believe it is. And then biblical memorials took place in a lot of the feast days. And the Passover was used as a memorial of how God brought Israel out of the land of Egypt of slavery and bondage. And then it's used in different anointings. You remember when Mary anointed Jesus And he said, she's prepared me for my burial and it will be used as a memorial. So there's a lot of different memorials in the scriptures. And today, we're going to sit down. I thought it's very significant that we might sit down at the Lord's table and have communion together, because it is a memorial. Jesus said, remember my... Somebody got it over here. Death. Remember my death. All right? So, y'all with me? Don't get all moon calf looking at me now. Come on. Stay with me. We're going somewhere. So we will remember. Look at your neighbor. Your neighbor's anybody you're sitting with or around. And just tell them, we will remember. There's some specific things that we should remember there in verses 14, 15, and 16. And the first thing that we're going to remember as Memorial Day is simply this. We remember that He set us free. We remember that He set us free. And He set us free from a lot of different things. But the writer of Hebrews tells us two things that He set us free from: the power of death and the fear of death. So we're going to jump on that right now. Is that all right? Even if it's not all right, that's what we're going to jump on. Go ahead and tell somebody, jump. All right. We remember He set us free. And first of all, from the power of death. Verse 14, let me read it again. Then, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And so Jesus has set us free from the power of death. He destroyed the devil's works. Now, it's amazing to me the way we treat the devil. He's a real person. He is a real personality. He's not some knucklehead with a red suit and a long tail and a pitchfork in his hand. He is real. And some of us know him better than others. Come on, say amen. So the devil is real. And he had a death grip on us. He had a death grip. He had the power of death, according to what the Bible just told us. And so Jesus, when He died and was buried and rose again, He defeated the one who had the power of death. He destroyed him. This will come clean for you here in just a few minutes. You say, well, Brother Cal, he hasn't destroyed the devil because he's alive and well. Yeah, he is alive and well. But what he's talking about here is really a little bit better translation would be, he put the devil out of commission. He has no power over death over us any longer. He was made inoperative, if you will. It's kind of like when a bomb squad gets called in to disarm a bomb. The bomb squad shows up. They find the bomb. Now, it still has the power to explode and do great damage. But when the bomb squad finds out where that pin is and pulls the pin, well, then the bomb is disarmed. It has no power. I guess in my old country way, you could say that the devil's no longer harmless. As a matter of fact, he's toothless. Come on, all you false teeth folks. All right. So he has destroyed the power of death through his death, burial, and resurrection. Folks, death has no more power over you than it has over the Lord. Jesus defeated death. Aren't you thankful for that? No power. But there's a second thing that he set us free from, not only the power of death, but from the fear of death. Now watch this. Watch this. Look again at verse 14. Y'all with me? Stay with me. Verse 15 says, that he might release those who through fear of death were all their life, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, I'm just sitting here looking at a bunch of healthy folks. How many of y'all are a member of a health club? I'm not asking do you go. You're a member of a health club. You're not proud of it, are you? Some of y'all are members of the YMCA. Some of y'all take exercise on a regular basis. You're trying to eat right. You're popping those vitamins and eating those supplements. You're getting regular checkups at the doctor. Why? You're looking for a veritable fountain of youth. Why? Because I think all of us, whether we want to admit it or not, have a fear of death. Because we've never experienced it. We've never been there. We don't know quite what that's like. The fear of death. But how do I say? It's kind of like here, he's talking there in verse 15 about a lifetime subject to bondage. That's pointing back to the nation of Israel when God set them free. And you remember, God brought 2 million Israelites out of Egypt through those 10 plagues and all that. You remember that. You weren't there, but you read about it. And they show up where? At the Red Sea. And the Red Sea's at flood stage. And they've got these waters in front of them. Well, all of a sudden, guess who's coming in behind them? Pharaoh's army. And so they're standing there on the banks of the Red Sea, and their hearts are filled with fear. But God spoke to Moses, and he said, stretch that rod out over the Red Sea. And when he did, God parted the waters. And the children of Israel crossed over onto dry ground, 2 million of them. Now, I'm going to say this, and this isn't going to make you real happy, but if Jesus tarries just a few years, most of us are going to be graveyard dead. You're going to walk and stand before the chilly waters of death. But the Bible teaches that God gives His people dying grace. And when it's your time, the Lord Jesus will part those chilly waters of death, and you'll cross over into a land that's fairer than day. Hallelujah. And so you don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear the power of death. Death's got no hold on us. We have been set free. You are free from the power of death and the fear of death. I can stop right there and offer an invitation, but we still got 2 more points. But y'all remember that. That's good stuff. So, we remember that He set us free. Secondly, we remember that He set us straight. How many of you know you need to be set straight? I'm talking about being made right with God, in right standing with Him, right? So, we remember He set us free, and we remember today that He set us straight. Now, watch this. Woo! Verse 17. Therefore, in all things, He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Now, we remember He set us straight. You know, what He's talking about here is reconciliation, being reconciled. The word reconcile means to take two parties that are in opposition, and they're brought together. The peace is made through some type of transaction. Are y'all with me? Dwight, I'll never forget when we went to Nashville that day with you and me and Brother Shep and Chaplain Curry. And I made the horrible mistake of asking him what propitiation meant. And for the next 48 minutes, we got a sermon on propitiation. You remember that? Well, Jesus, through His death, was able to make the peace between an outraged heaven and a rebellious man. How did He do that? Through His ultimate sacrifice. That word propitiation brings to mind the mercy seat. The mercy seat. He appeased the wrath of God through His blood sacrifice. Well, you have the atoning sacrifice of Jesus if you're a believer today. All of your sins have been taken cared for and taken care of, and the peace has been made between you and God. I want to tell you what, there's nothing like the peace of God. Now, let me just mention this. On your outline it says, He made the peace between God and man. Jesus is the great peacemaker. And he destroyed the power of the devil. And he also, we didn't bring this up, but he destroyed the power of sin. And so sin and death has no hold over you. And that's how he was able to make the peace with his sacrifice. The word propitiation literally brings to mind the mercy seat. You remember the mercy seat? Where was the mercy seat in the temple or even in the tabernacle? It was in a little cube-shaped room called the Holy of Holies. Are y'all reading your Bibles? Bless God. I hope this isn't the only day this week you read your Bible. You need to be reading it. Now, in behind, the priest would always come and make sacrifice for the people. I mean, there was an altar, and then there was, you know, and the priests were always giving those blood sacrifices and offering up. So they because they represented the people to God. Y'all with me so far? And so one day a year, though, the high priest, the big daddy from Cincinnati, the big dog, the high priest, would come into the Holy of Holies beyond the veil. And there was the Ark of the Covenant. And the top of the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat, a golden lid. And on that golden box, on that golden lid, there were two cherubim, and their wings touched from one end to the other. And it was there that the presence of Almighty God was. And he would take a blood sacrifice from a yearling lamb, a special, unblemished, spotless lamb, and sprinkle the blood before that altar seven times. And if he did everything just right, the peace of the people with God was made right. They were reconciled to God. But they had to do that over and over and over until Jesus shed his blood. Hallelujah. So he made the peace. I don't want to tick anybody off, but look at chapter 4, verse 14. Chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And here's the point I wanted to get to about how he has set us straight, how he's made us right with God. Let us therefore, here it is, Dwight. Dwight Dixon's going to shout and start running. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Do you know who's sitting on the throne of grace today? Right now. That's right. And listen to this. We come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. You see, Revelation 1:6 says, you are now a priest of God. And you don't even need a high priest because you've got one. And he's at the throne of grace. And you can come into his presence. You don't need a priest to represent you to God anymore. We've got a high priest. His name is Jesus. He made the ultimate sacrifice and presented his spotless blood, his precious blood, there in the throne room of heaven. You don't have, and so the peace has been made if you've received him as your Lord and Savior, and you can come into his presence anytime you get ready. Anytime. You don't have to go find a priest. We've got a high priest, and his name is Jesus. And do you know what your high priest is doing right now? He is praying for you. There's somebody in heaven praying for you. Whew. I need to move on because we got other things to do, but I could park right there. Bless God, you can come into his presence anywhere, anytime, any place. And God will say, come on in and obtain a little mercy and find grace. And you can get what you need. How many of you have a need today? Wow. And the rest of you have one, you just wouldn't own up to it. Well, you can come to the throne of grace because Jesus has made the way. Glory to His name. He has made us right with God. He's made the peace. He has set us straight. And you can come into His presence for whatever you need. Hallelujah. I'm not kidding y'all. If I could run, I would have already taken off right over here and I'd be running. What great truth this is for us today. Hallelujah. Now, here's the last one. And remember, He set us free. What did He set us free from? Power of death. Some of y'all are off on sin or something. Somebody said, He set us free from the power of death and the fear of death. And then He set us straight. What did He do for us? He made the peace. And because He made the peace, we can come into His presence. I don't care what you think. That's a good outline. Hallelujah. Anyways, we remember that He set us up. Did you know you've been set up? God's in the setup business. He is. Watch this. Woo, look at verse 18. For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He's able to aid those who are tempted. Then jump back to verse 16. I forgot to read this one. For indeed, he doesn't give aid to the angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. And then back over there in chapter 14, verse 15 says, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And so Jesus knows and He understands what temptation's all about. He knows. He's been there. He was made as a human being. And He was tempted to sin in every way that you were tempted. He understands weakness. He does. He gets it. Jesus knows what it's like to be weak physically and weak emotionally and weak mentally and weak. He spent 40 days praying and fasting before His public ministry. And after that 40 days of no food, He's weak. And guess who shows up? The old sinister minister of fear and doubt. And he tempts Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. But hallelujah, Jesus won the victory. Every time Jesus was tempted, He won the victory. You remember Simon Peter, one of His own followers tempted Him to avoid the cross. But Jesus, you remember what Jesus told Simon Peter? Get back in here, because you're not giving me the things of God. And then His own family was a source of temptation. He understands our weaknesses. He understands what it's like. And let me just say this, y'all. It's not a sin to be tempted. Say amen. Now, it is a sin if you fall into that temptation. But He understands what it's like. He's been tempted to lie. He was tempted to cheat. He was tempted to steal. He was tempted to do all kinds of things that are wrong and breaks God's law. But He never did sin. He who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He understands temptation. And because He understands temptation and he was tempted and never did sin, guess what? He set you up for victory. You can have victory over sin. Look at the last part again of verse 18. Say this with me. He is able. He is able to aid those who are tempted. In other words, He'll help you to have victory over temptation. Do you want to have V-I-C-T-O-R-Y? You can have it. And let me just kind of... You're gonna wind up under temptation. It's going to happen. But here's what you do. Every time Satan speaks to you, he's lying to you. If he's got his mouth open, he's lying. He's a liar. And so you look for the lie. Now, let's don't give the devil all the press. Our old rotten, stinking flesh will lie to us. And so you look for the lie. And then confront the lie with Scripture. Listen to your pastor. If I'm not your pastor, you need to go get one. Listen to me. There is, for every temptation, there is a promise in the Scripture. Every temptation, there is a promise from the Scripture for that temptation. Every single one of them. And so, quote that Scripture. Confront the lie, and then quote that Scripture. Well, devil, there hath no temptation overtaken me such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow me to be tempted beyond that which I am able to bear, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape that I may be able to bear it. Hallelujah. And here's the best part. Do you see that word aid? A-I-D? Do you know what that word means? Come to the rescue. Come to the rescue. And so after you've confronted the lie and quoted Scripture, you submit yourself to God. Just call on Jesus and He'll show up. He'll come to the rescue. And Satan will look, oh my goodness, it's you again. And he'll flee. Submit yourself therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Y'all, that'll get you a ticket to a $500 conference on how to defeat temptation. Right there. Glory to God. He'll come to the rescue. Whew. I can't tell you how many times your pastor has been right there on the edge, and I'm about ready to fall into sin. And all of a sudden, where did that come from? And I start looking for the lie. And then I'll quote some scripture that addresses that lie. And then I'll say, Lord Jesus, help me. And He is able to aid those who come to Him. And He comes to the rescue. And that old slick Satan has to leave. He flees. On Memorial Day weekend, well, on Memorial Sunday, we're going to remember that He set us free from the power of death and the fear of death. We're going to remember that He has set us straight. He has made the peace between God and man. And because of that, we can come into the presence of Almighty God. And He has set us up for victory over temptation. Father, this is all up to You. Whatever You want to do right now is up to You. And we'll give You praise and glory and thanksgiving and honor for what it is that happens during this time of response. And Lord, as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper, oh God, help us to get clean before You. As we sit down at the table, God, don't let us eat and drink judgment upon ourselves. Help us to examine our hearts. Whether that means getting up and getting to an altar where someone can pray over us or for us, whether that means going to the war room and getting somebody to pray with us privately, whatever that looks like, oh God, we prepare right now and we remember Your goodness and Your glory. So if you're here today, our deacons are going to serve the supper here in just a moment, but before we do that, we need to have a time of prayer. And this altar here is always open for those that need prayer. And we're going to ask you to just get up and come. And the war room, there's folks back here ready to pray over you. If you need prayer for healing, if you need prayer for a ministry, if you need prayer for uncertainty or health or whatever, our war room's open and we've got prayer warriors there right now. Oh God, fall fresh on us. God, may this be the greatest service in the history of Second Mile Church today. That Jesus will be lifted up in such a way that when we leave here, we'll all know we've been with Him. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. and Drew lead us in something, would you? Father, thank you for the prayers of the saints. The scripture tells us, God, over and over, that the prayers of the saints are ever before you. So, God, Lord, just teach us to pray. Teach us to pray and to come after you with all of our heart. Now, God, as we sit down here at this table, this is a special time between you and your people, you and your saved people. Lord, we just ask, God, that as we remember the death and the burial and resurrection of our Savior, that we would remember that there's another supper on the way. Thank you, Lord, that you've prepared the way for us. In your name we ask it. Amen and amen. If our deacons would come forward, please be seated. If our deacons would come forward. And while they're coming, I want to say this. Our communion time, our Lord's Supper, is an open communion. It's for everyone here to participate that is a born-again baptized believer. This is not a time for your children to... This is a time for where people that are right with God and have been saved and born again. This is a time for us to remember His death and His resurrection. And so we do that together. And we've got disposable cups today. And this was kind of my fault. Well, it wasn't kind of, it was my fault. But I called Dick Littleton, our chairman of deacons, this week, and I said, you know what? It's Memorial Day, and we need to remember the Lord. Let's do a communion at the end of the service. Let's do Lord's Supper. And he said, that's great. So he sent out a reminder to all the guys. And then I got a panic-stricken call from Mike Rainey. He was down here, and we didn't have near enough cups. So I went out to Kenwood. Derek gave us 40 or 45 of those. We were still about 50 short. So I called Larry Robertson over at Hilldale. And he said, just sit right there. I'll call you right back in a matter of moments. He said, go to the Family Life Center. He said, they'll have your communion cups ready for you. In the family of God great? Hallelujah. And so, having said that, I want to say this. We've got a few different cups. We got the ones with the white top. And if you get one with the white top, the bread's on the bottom and the juice is in the top. But if you get one of these wild-looking things, it's real colorful on top, the wafer is on top and the juice is underneath. Okay? And hallelujah, Mike, I'm going to get this thing off. And girls, it might be better for y'all to get the ones with their colorful on, because y'all got fingernails. All right? Now, let me read this. In the evening, he came with the 12. Now, as they sat and ate, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and said to him, Lord, is it I? Another said, is I? He answered him, it's one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of God is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born. And so we'll read the rest of this here in just a moment, but they're going to pass these cups out, and don't get into it just yet. We're going to do that. We're going to do the bread, and then we're going to do the juice. Y'all with me so far? All right. We're going to partake of the bread in just a moment. And the bread is symbolic of the body of Jesus. Just think about what all his body that he gave so that we might go free. Just think about the body. What they did to his body. He did that for you. He did that for me. And so when we partake of the wafer, the bread, in just a moment, we're going to remember his death by partaking of the symbolic body. This doesn't turn into the body of Christ. We're not eating flesh here today. But this is symbolic of his precious body that was broken and bruised and bloodied for us. Are y'all with me? Guys, are y'all ready? Y'all ready, Dick? Dick, ask the blessing over the bread, would you? Take, eat. Now, the juice that we're about to partake of is symbolic of the shed blood of Jesus. Okay? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And so Jesus paid the price with his sinless blood, satisfied God's wrath, appeased. We talked about this word, propitiation. He became the atoning sacrifice so that we could be forgiven of all our sin. Glory to his name. And so before we partake of the juice, which is symbolic of his shed blood, hallelujah. Then he took the cup, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in the kingdom of God." What a promise. Drink. I believe mine was fermented. Mercy, one of those special cups. Mercy.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.